What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we are stoked to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be talking about pro pickleball topics, and there's some spicy stuff in the news. So I think we should just roll right into it.
Yeah, let's get into it.
For over 10 years, innovation has been at the core of who we are at Selkirk. We take risks, we test, we evolve. Introducing the Selkirk Lab 007. With an Infinigrid surface that lasts at least 3 times longer than rock carbon, and a titanium mesh layer for added power, while maintaining the largest sweet spot available. Because good is never good enough.
So I found this post on The Kitchen, and I think it's actually really interesting. So let me set this up. In case you aren't familiar with how pro pickleball is kind of seen or streamed, Pickleball TV started, what was that, maybe like a year ago? It's pretty recent.
Yeah.
And this is where the PPA and MLP has been streaming their events. So back a couple years, that used to be like everything was just streamed on YouTube and you'd like go watch. You remember that?
Yeah, it was like the PPA YouTube channel. Basically, they would live stream.
They would just live stream it. And it was like, that's how you did it. But then, you know, Pickleball TV came onto the scene, and then you had to watch it through, this year we had to watch it through Amazon Prime. And so not everything is uploaded onto the YouTube channel right away. I think they had it where the events would get uploaded later, but if you wanted to watch live time, your option was, especially if it was championship court, your option was Pickleball TV. That was this whole past year.
And what was one of the most annoying things about Pickleball TV? Or what is?
Yeah, what is? This currently still is annoying about Pickleball TV, but things are changing. But this past year, if you wanted to rewind or pause the stream, you just could not.
Right.
You couldn't rewind it. You can't go back. And
I'm not the only one that doesn't like it. There's a lot of people that are upset about that.
Oh, yeah. I was upset about it because, you know, what do you do when you have a really sick point or play? You like want to go watch it again,
but, or you want to pause the match and come back to it, you know,
or pause the match and come back, but you just could not do that with Pickleball TV. So anyway, there are some big changes happening in the streaming world. So I'm going to go ahead and read this comment. So this person says, it looks like starting in 2025, no more free streaming of PPA events, extra grandstand, and other secondary courts. They now have an app through Pickleball TV. This has a 30-day free trial, and it's $6 a month or $59.99 per year thereafter. No more matches will be free on YouTube Live starting 2025 of other courts than championship. The app does provide pause, rewind, and replays, and DVR service that is not available on the stream right now. And this person basically asks, like, what are your guys' thoughts on this? So I want to throw that to you. What do you think about this kind of update?
Yeah, I think my biggest question when it comes to this is, you know, I think we have seen a bit of a decline in viewership over the last 6 months or so is kind of what I've really noticed. You know, there was this big boom of kind of viewership within the pro scene. You remember back, what was it now, like 2 years ago where the Tour Wars was going on?
Yeah, 2 years.
So you had, you know, this, the MLP versus the PPA, which are now today under this one conglomerate, that's the UPA, And so you had, you know, that's the governing bodies, the UPAA, pickleball, the PPA tour. Sorry.
It's all the acronyms.
All the acronyms. The MLP and the PPA are under some other conglomerate, like Pickleball Inc. or so, I don't know what it's called. But anyways, it's all under the same umbrella. But back then, you know, you had all these players getting signed. There was this kind of launch of this new formats, and you had a bunch of players emerging, and the game was just kind of taking off. you know, if you're thinking of like in the stock market, like a big boom, kind of a big leg up, a big candle up. And that's kind of what was happening. So viewership was kind of up, and then now it's like kind of correcting a little bit. It's kind of coming back down. And I think that my biggest issue with this is, you know, will this like hinder an already kind of declining, you know, viewership? Like it's already kind of like headed down over the last 6 months, and now we're like shutting it off. And does, not only does this hinder viewership, but does that hurt the popularity and the growth of pickleball? Right? Yeah.
Let me read some of these comments because they're kind of along the same lines. This person says, just go ahead and kill the popularity of the game, all for the sake of making a dollar. And this person says, I'm not going to pay for it. Guess I'll have to play more since I refuse to pay and watch. And a lot of people are saying like they don't want to pay.
Yeah. And I think we're going to get into a little bit more of that during this podcast with some of our other topics that we're going to discuss. But, you know, there's this kind of underlying narrative that's being created within the PPA Tour. And this isn't just something that I speculate. This is a narrative that a lot of people are talking about in different groups, different organizations, different levels, different areas of pickleball are talking about the PPA kind of creating this reputation for this kind of money grab atmosphere where they're kind of after money. Like, for example, they came and we've talked about this on previous podcasts and I kind of hinted at it earlier, but they recently formed this new paddle regulations, this UPAA certification, in addition to the USAP certification for paddles, which the USAP was a nonprofit organization. UPAA is a for-profit organization. And it's kind of, you know, we've talked about on previous podcasts, again, how the tournament fees are just going up, and, you know, a lot of these, you know, it just feels, obviously we know it's a business. We know they're trying to make money and we know there's demand. So we get it. And they're trying to maybe find the market price.
But what's hard is if they're already struggling with viewership, I'm like, I don't think adding another paywall is going to help that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was getting at. Like, I think that somebody mentioned it in the thread, but unfortunately, this kind of is playing into this narrative that, oh, here's another thing the PPA is doing for money. And are they sacrificing the growth and the popularity and the legitimacy of the sport that we love for money, you know?
Yeah.
And the other side of that is, like, I guess you could argue, does kind of having a paid model like give it more legitimacy? Because there are, you know, some like paid kind of app models that allow, you know, if you want to watch the NFL or if you want to watch the NBA. But I think the issue is that in the same way they kind of threw a bunch of money at players that they didn't have, you know, I think there's this big question of like, obviously the sport's growing, but is the sport big enough yet? Like, it will be, but is it big enough yet to be treating it like the NBA or, you know, there's an article that pro pickleball players on average are making more money than WNBA players, you know, I think it's just,
but a lot of people questioned that too. And they were like, what's the legitimacy of that?
Yeah. So I don't know. I think what I'm saying is, it kind of hints at this narrative of like, we're growing, but sometimes you can grow too fast. And sometimes you can think you kind of overvalue what you have, and instead of growing kind of in like a healthy way. And so I don't mean to bring it back to like a stock market, but it's kind of like this like overvalued thing. And now it's like correcting really hard. And yet some people think it's still valued really high. So anyways, like, I would love to hear from you guys in the comments, like, do you think the PPA, or do you think pro pickleball in general, is headed in the right direction? Do you think that, you know, having these, you know, different obviously the streaming regulations, could that help? Obviously it could make them more profitable if they think it's really going to sell, but do you think that ultimately helps or hinders the growth of pickleball? I'd love to hear that in the comments.
In a note on that, like, I read a comment and I was like, I think there's so many different ways they could have gone about it. Like this person said in the comments, like, I wish that you could have, you know, like a free version and then a paid version. And the free version has just like more ads. Like, why punish the viewers, you know? And I thought, I was like, dang, that's like a great solution. Like, I just think that.
So let me ask you this. Sorry. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. You just think that what?
Well, I just think to myself, like, again, if the goal is to make money, which I get it, the sport has to make money for it to be successful. The sport has to make money. But like you said, is hurting the viewership numbers by asking people to pay the right way to make money? Or is there different ways, like having more ad sponsors or something like that? Is there a different way that's not going to hurt the viewership? Because that's a huge part of the sport.
Yeah. And also, like, side thought, it does just kind of make it feel more exclusive, I guess, or it kind of makes it feel a little bit more like less inclusive. And I think that, like, again, like, are we there as a sport? That's the question. Are we at a place? Are we big enough yet to where we can afford to be exclusive and kind of create this culture of exclusivity? You know, I think that one of the reasons I love pickleball is that it is very inclusive. It really does. You know, you can be on a court playing with the CEO of a company, and on the other side of the court, you could have a school janitor, and nobody really knows. Everyone just, like, it's not about demographic. It's not about status. You know, you could have old people. You could have young people. You know, nobody really knows exactly, you know, who or what. It doesn't matter, like, your demographic when you're on the pickleball court. There's, like, such an inclusivity. And so I just kind of wonder, does this make it, like, more exclusive or than it needs to be, or that we can be, or we can afford to be yet? But I was going to ask you, you read it earlier. Did you say it was $30 a month or $59 a year?
No. So it's $6 a month.
Okay. Sorry.
And $60 a year, basically $59.99.
So it's both. It's,
yeah, you could either pay I think 59.
Okay. So it's not like it's, I guess it's not like it's like a high ticket item, like you're not paying a ton of money, so maybe that's where their mindset is. But like, you, let me ask you, being in a pickleball advocate, a pickleball enthusiast, a pickleball lover, working in pickleball, there's not many people that love pickleball more than Danae. So I guess maybe you know what I'm gonna ask. Would you pay for it?
You're asking the wrong person.
Why am I asking the wrong person? Would you pay $6 a month?
You guys, I'm naturally such a cheap person.
That's true, I guess.
Like, truly.
Now that people know that you're cheap.
Okay, here's the thing. I am somebody who I will take the free, the cheapest with ads, and you won't. Because you don't like the ads. Like,
we were kind of signing up for, I was signing up for a subscription the other night.
And I was like, let's do the free one or whatever, the lowest one. It has ads.
Well, there's two options. There's one with ads and one without ads. And one was $6 more.
Dude. And no, it was $8 more.
Actually, it was $6 more. No, it was seven. It was $9.99. We were right in the middle. It was $9.99 or $16.99 for HBO Max, because we don't have HBO Max. We wanted to watch something on there. I was like, I'll get it for a month. But anyways, yes, Danae would pay the $9.99. I would pay the $16.99. So with that context, would you pay for it? Would you pay for $6?
I don't know.
A month?
I think if they were putting the championship matches on YouTube afterwards, I probably wouldn't.
Okay, fair.
Actually, I know I wouldn't.
So that just kind of proves the point. Obviously, we have some context. You don't like to spend a lot of money that you don't have to. You don't like to spend extra money.
Like,
you called yourself cheap. You called yourself cheap. So
I know.
Knowing that context, but also knowing that you love pickleball,
obsessed
with pickleball, and that you would like to have the option to watch it, that kind of says a lot.
Yeah,
you know, that you wouldn't pay for it, and also it's kind
would
of
you
like
pay for it?
$6 a month, maybe. I don't know, but I think the hard part is you know, maybe this is what they think too. Is I think initially I would say probably no, but like in like 3 or 4 months, am I going to miss it? Like not having that opportunity to watch it. And then maybe I'm going to be like, come back around, like, okay, I'll pay for it. You know, I think that's the thing where I'm like,
I think you should pay for it. So I don't have to pay for it.
We'll talk about it later. I feel like we should.
I'm just kidding, you guys.
Anyways, let us know in the comments, would you guys pay $6 a month to have,
or $59.99
to have access to professional pickleball streaming?
And it does stop, replay, pause, and all of that.
And maybe we're on, like, we're in a different category than a lot of our listeners.
I'm interested.
Maybe everyone would. Let us know.
I'm interested.
Or do you think it's just kind of, like we said before, just
a money grab,
and it's not necessarily the right time for, in the scheme of, or in the grand scheme of, like, the scope of the growth of pickleball and, like, where we are, do you think it's, like, a little early to try to monetize viewership in this way, like in subscriptions, not just ads? Let us know in the comments. And with that, we're going to move to our next, we're going to kind of article. We're going to kind of stay in the pro scene.
Yeah. So I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this. We actually did talk about this earlier, and it was that we were right. Ben and Gabe Tardio are officially teaming up for tournaments moving forward in 2025. So that was kind of the big news, but also this was pretty interesting. This goes along the same lines. Gabe Tardio signed a pretty fat contract.
Yeah.
Are you aware of what?
Yeah, $800K.
Yeah. Do you know the terms?
3 years.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I mean, I didn't hear anything.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of terms of, like, he has to play X amount of events. Right. And I wonder if that, like,
but, like,
what does that do to, like, do they get the same payouts if they win, if they're signed versus if they're not?
I don't know. I'd love to get my hands on a contract. If you guys can get one, let me know.
Let us know in the comments if you have connections.
No, I don't know any of the.
Yeah, but three years, $800K, you know, this kind of.
And that's, to my knowledge, that's just what PPA is paying him. So obviously he has his sponsor, paddle sponsor, all that stuff. That's, I think.
Which is not bad for a
19 year old.
19. Not bad. I was way more than I had made at that point in my life. I guess still.
I was going to say, you have a side hustle I don't know about.
I was just kind of saying at that that point in my life, like, $800K for over 3 years is pretty. There's not many 19-year-olds that can say that, you know.
Yeah.
So not only that, but he, like we said, he is allegedly, you know, teaming up with Ben Johns. I don't know for how much of the year. I know right now, as we're filming this, the Masters is going on. Ben is playing with Colin in this one. And I know that, I don't know if they're going to just play a couple tournaments to start the year and then Gabe's going to take over or what, but I think this is going to be an exciting partnership to watch. I think it's going to be wildly different than Ben and Colin. You know, I think that if there's anything that this is kind of speaking to us, it's that the right side player is here to dominate the market. You know, I think there is going to be a continued demand going forward for good right side players.
Yeah,
I really do.
And I think it was interesting. A lot of people were speculating, like, Ben likes playing with lefties, you know, all this stuff, but he ended up choosing Gabe Tardio,
who's, I guess,
a right side dominating player who's right handed.
Yeah, and I guess it's maybe a little bit of context if you're not familiar with Gabe's game. He does very much, like, aggressively hug the middle, and he has a long reach. And so he may like have a lot of the qualities that a lefty would have, and him being able to, because I think Ben's excited, like, it's going to open up a whole new side of the game for him because he's used to having to take up so much court. And now they're kind of shrinking the court to, like, have to hit to a smaller area when you're hitting to Ben.
Which I also feel could be an adjustment for both of them.
Yeah.
To figure out who's, because they both hug middle.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be an adjustment. Yeah. But, like, I think the thing is like, you know, Gabe just does such a good job at taking that middle away from people. And I think that's going to allow, it's going to open up just a whole new kind of side of the game for Ben, because Ben's used to having that role. And we'll see how that plays out. But let us know in the comments as well if you think this is a good partnership. And what do you think about the $800,000 over 3 years for 19-year-old Gabe Tardio? Is he 19?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
All right. Do you have any other comments on that? Or should we go to the last one?
Let's go to the last one.
Okay, cool. This is, again, kind of bridging the gap of what we're talking about with potentially the PPA tour and a bunch of money being forked out, and also money that's not being forked out. This was an interesting one here. On the Pickleball Forum's Facebook page, there was a screenshot of another post from a pickleball pro. It looks like he may have posted this on X. This was posted by Grayson Golden.
Let me just insert this. He's a very, very talented, amazing singles player primarily. He does play doubles and mixed, but he has won like singles in APP.
Yeah. He's definitely been to a handful of championship Sundays in the APP. And I think he went pretty deep into PPA, one that he played earlier this year.
He's a great player. Great singles player. Yeah. So if you haven't heard of Grayson Golden,
he's kind of up and coming. He's young. He's very, very athletic. He posted this. He said, "Pickleball is the only sport where you can be ranked number 22 in the world." And he's referring to himself, I guess. I don't know if he's maybe 22 in the world in singles or doubles. I'm not really sure. But in men's, in either singles or doubles, he's ranked 22. So he says, "Pickleball is the only sport where you can be ranked 22 in the world and have to play qualifying rounds," so qualies.
Yeah.
"Because," quote unquote, "signed players are prioritized over player rankings." So what he's saying is that in this tournament, in this PPA tournament, he's not a signed PPA player.
This is multiple PPA tournaments, but keep going.
Okay, sure. He's not a signed player, and he is now having to basically play qualifying rounds just to make it into the main draw, even though he's ranked higher than some signed PPA players that kind of automatically get put into the main draw because they're signed. So he goes on to say, "I spent $9,000 in 2024 on entry fees alone on the PPA tour." And he didn't just play the PPA tour. So this wasn't like all of his tournaments were PPA. This was maybe 50% of his tournaments.
He paid maybe
less than 50%. And he paid $9,000 in just entry fees. He paid $740 for his entry fee in the 2025 Masters that's going on right now.
Wow. That's crazy.
$740 for one player to enter.
One tournament. Yeah.
And then he says, "I just checked the main draw and it's completely full. This is not an error." And then he basically kind of calls out Connor Pardo. What are your thoughts on this?
So the reason why I say it's not just this tournament is because this has been a thing that's been happening since the Tour Wars. So the Tour Wars, this is when both tours, MLP and PPA, started going on a signing rampage. The PPA went out and started signing these tennis players that had never played pickleball, like ever. So Jeannie Bouchard was one of those players, and she never had to play like qualifying. She literally got right into the main draw. There was a couple other.
Yeah. And I do think it's a little different for women's, because they're trying to fill the draws up.
But this happened with men.
Or with mixed.
With men and mixed, yes. This happened across the board. Mm-hmm. And so these players who have been on tour, who have rankings, were upset because they were like, how come I have to play qualies and I have status and I have this and I have that? And this person goes in, they're in the main draw, and they lose the first round because they're not a pickleball player. They're not good at pickleball, whatever. And so this has been a thing that's been happening for a while. This isn't a new thing, but Grayson is bringing this up because it's still happening and the sport's only growing bigger and being more competitive.
Right. And so I think this whole idea is, man, should we, in this sport, should we allow the players that are ranked the highest, no matter if you're signed or not, the higher ranked players should get seated accordingly in brackets. And if the PPA Tour wants to sign players that aren't ranked as high, then they need to still play qualies like everybody mm-hmm. else. But honestly, this is a PPA tournament. So the PPA tour can really do whatever yep. they want.
Yes.
So interesting thoughts. I don't know. Like, I think just ethically, it makes sense maybe that you should rank players accordingly, you know, yes. seed players according to their rankings, not to whether you're signed or not. But they can do that. And in doing that, they are creating some sort of demand. They're creating some sort of FOMO for, you know, that if the PPA rolls around and they want to give Grayson a contract or they want to give one of these other APP players a contract, then maybe they feel like they have more leverage because they are, again, they're creating this exclusivity.
Yeah, exactly.
So interesting. Any other thoughts there?
Yeah. I mean, I think if I was a player, I would feel really similar to Grayson. If I was a signed player of the PBA, I think I would probably like that I don't have to play qualies because that gives me a perk to be to want to sign with them. I see both sides, but I think for the integrity of the game, it feels kind of wrong.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and again, when the tour wars were happening and they were like giving Jeannie Bouchard and people like that, you know, an end to the main draw, I think a lot of that was for the publicity because she had a big name. People want like, yeah. you know, but again, I'm like, okay, well, just because you have a big name, I just don't think that you can skip qualies. Like, it's yeah. just not.
Yeah. And you
you're just giving spots that might not be deserved.
And, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I don't have anything against the head of the PPA, Connor Pardo. I don't know the guy. I've heard what other people have said about him, but I don't really have any, you know, personal experience with him. And I'm sure that there's a lot of things that we don't see that go, just like with anybody in a leadership position, I'm sure they've thought through a lot of different angles. I'm sure there's a lot of things that we don't see behind the scenes, and it can be very easy. I understand this because I've led other things. It can be very easy to sit back and critique the way someone's leading something because you don't see everything that's happening. So I don't know what's been thought through. All I know is that it's important to me. I think we need to protect the growth of the sport. I think we need to protect the integrity of the sport and just do things the right way. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to, like, we have to ask ourselves, and this is over every issue, we have to ask ourselves, is this contributing to the core values that are going to propel and grow this sport as a whole and push this sport down the road as a whole in a positive way? Or is this contributing to just a pocketbook or, mm-hmm. you know, growing my revenue, which I understand is a part of, you have to have revenue to have a business. So I get that side of it too, but I think we have to think bigger picture. We have to think long-term. And if not, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 5-10 years, but it'll be interesting to see kind of what comes of the PPA tour and also what, you know, other potential tours kind of emerge. And what I know, the PPA tour wants to be the premier top tour moving forward, but we'll just have to see kind of what happens. And yeah. I think it's just important that we protect the growth of the sport.
Yeah. So I would love to know what you guys think about this. Like, do you think that if you're a signed player that you should just be able to like skip qualies, get immediately put in the main draw? Or are you somebody where you're like, actually, no, if they sign with a tour, they should get priority? And I would just love to hear discussion in the comments below. Go ahead and share your thoughts. I think that'd be really interesting to hear what the majority of people think.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks so much for listening today. If you've not already liked and subscribed, please do that. It really helps the growth of the channel. Leave in the comments anything you want us to cover on a future episode, and we'll be sure to work that into our schedule. But thanks so much for hanging out with us today, and we will see you guys on the next one.